Let's bless the name of the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord. We give you the praise for bringing us into this service this morning. We magnify your name for all you are said to do. Take the praise and the glory this morning. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise and the glory. Be thou exalted in Jesus' precious name. Spirit of the living God, we celebrate your presence in our midst. We ask, Lord, that you visit us again by your word. And let your word, Lord, bring deliverance and freedom to every worshiper in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, as your word go forth, Lord, let there be diverse healings. Let there be diverse deliverances. Let everyone confused receive direction. By your word this morning, Lord, we ask that souls be saved and let the backsliders be restored back to the faith. And for all you do this morning, the praise will return back to you. In Jesus' precious name. Let the saints of God say a big amen. Put those wonderful hands together for Jesus. And please get seated. Help me welcome your neighbor left and right. You're welcome to this Freedom Banquet service. God is visiting you this morning. In Jesus' precious name. What a joy this morning and a privilege given to me by God through his servant, the resident pastor, to bring God's word to us this morning in this Freedom Banquet service. This morning, whatever that is not of God shall depart from you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. How do we know what God will do? We know what God will do by knowing what he has done. Knowing what he has done, you know what he will do. I've had testimonies this morning, abundance of them in scriptures, validating the theme of this service, Freedom Banquet. Whatever that the devil has done in your life, this morning, God will undo them. If you believe that, shout a big amen. Our teaching this morning, engaging the help of the Holy Spirit towards fulfillment of destiny. Engaging the help of the Holy Spirit towards fulfillment of destiny. And the anchor scripture, Zechariah chapter 4, from verse 1 to 6, which I've been looking at. And verse 5, the word says, it's not by power, neither is it by might, but by my spirit saith the Lord. And verse 6, he said, who art thou, mountain, before Zerubbabel? I don't know what that mountain represents this morning, but by the help of the Holy Spirit, that mountain before you, they will be leveled in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I will be looking at various ways that the Holy Spirit help us in the fulfillment of our destiny. The Holy Spirit is not there for us to speak in tongues, clap hands, get ourselves refreshed. It's much more than that. And it's there to help us as believers. If all you know is what others know, and if all you do is what others do, you can't be exceptional. You can't be extraordinary. So as we rely on the help of the Holy Ghost, which he offers to us as believers, we see ourselves taking our rightful places in destiny. Quickly this morning, we'll look at one or two of that. How the Holy Ghost helps us in the fulfillment of our destiny. Number one, we discover that the Holy Ghost help us to ascend to our place in destiny. That is to say, the Holy Ghost empowers us to be enthroned. The Holy Ghost empowers us to be enthroned. We discover from scriptures that at new birth, we are redeemed as prince and as kings. As priests and as kings at redemption. Revelation chapter 5 and verses 9 to 10 tells us that at new birth, we are redeemed as kings and as priests. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And verse 10, look at that scripture. And hast made us, not we make us. He has already made us unto our God as what? Kings, and as what? Priests. And what will happen? That we shall reign on the earth. Not to reign in heaven. We are to reign on the earth. So he made us kings. What does that mean, making us kings? He made us kings so that we can exercise authority on the earth. As a king, you exercise authority on the earth. As a king, you are to rule. As a king, you are to influence. The way we see natural kings, physical kings, he has a domain, he rules. So God has also made us kings so that we can exercise God's authority on the earth. Wherever we are found, to exercise God's authority. We are not made slaves, we are made kings. And he also made us priests. 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 That is to say, making us priests, what does that represent? When God made us king, he also didn't stop there. He also made us priests to be a representative of God here on the earth. To be a representative of God here on the earth as a priest. Pointing people to God. Standing in the place of God on his behalf. So we are kings and we are priests. These two things are things of nobility and dignity. Even in the natural, no one despises a king. No one ignores a priest. Even in the natural, when you go anywhere, the moment a priest enters and they recognize him, they make way for him. Is that not so? If it's a king, they make way for him. They create room for him. Yeah, there's no way. They create room for him. So he made us kings and he also made us priests. So what does that mean? We are not just priests, we are not just kings. He made us priests and kings and made us kingly priests and priestly kings. We are kingly priests and priestly what? Priestly kings. Kingly priests known for prosperity. Even in the remotest place of the earth, wherever you go, you see poor people. There must be difference in the king's house, in that village. If you go to any village, you don't see a good house. Go to a king's house, you will see one. Go to a priest's house. They say there is no food in that land. When you go to a priest's house, you will see enough food. Is that not so? So, as a king, what does that mean? God has made us a king so that we can command prosperity. And as a priest, so that we can command spirituality. So, kingly priest and priestly king. These are men, as a kingly priest, these are people that you see in certain authorities, in certain places. They are in charge of their areas. They are in charge of their areas of calling as kings. And yes, they are highly spiritual. A man like Abraham, he wasn't a priest. But a man like Abraham had an army in his house. Trained and born in his house. And he was also called a prophet. That's a kingly priest. prosperity with prosperity. Prosperity that he had, and also added with spirituality. So God has made us kings and priests, not beggars, not slaves. But what does you need to reign as a king? No king reigns without wisdom. Wisdom is the principal requirement to reign as a king. Proverbs chapter 8. Look at that scripture. In Proverbs chapter 8. No king reigns without wisdom. 15 and 16. He said, by me, kings reign. And princes do what? Decree what? Justice. So to reign, we need wisdom. He has made us kings. He has made us priests. But we reign by the instrument of wisdom. If you see Solomon, ask him. He reigned by wisdom. No educational qualification about Solomon. But God gave him wisdom. And by that wisdom, the kings of the earth, everyone was coming to look for Solomon. One place he was, trading one secret and one thing that God gave to him, the whole world was coming to seek for the wisdom of Solomon. Kings reign by wisdom. No matter how tall and big and handsome and beautiful you are, if you lack wisdom, you will remain on the floor. Without wisdom, you will remain on the ground. I have discovered that wise people don't struggle to go to the top. They are naturally found there. Wise people have discovered that they don't announce themselves. Wisdom always announces them. Wise people don't struggle for promotion. Promotion naturally comes to them. I pray in this season, may the Lord decorate each one of us with wisdom from above. If you will, let us shout a big amen. Quickly, let's look at three channels we can assess the wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. We are not talking about earthly wisdom. We know there are various types of wisdom. We are talking about divine wisdom. James chapter 3 and verses 15 tells us about various types of wisdom. We have earthly wisdom. We have intellectual wisdom. We have devilish wisdom. But we have divine wisdom. That is wisdom from above. And that wisdom from above is above all. Because whatever is from above is above all. That wisdom is superior to every form of wisdom. It's superior. How do we assess it? We have three major ways we can assess divine wisdom. Number one is through salvation. Through salvation. When you give your life to Jesus, there is a deposit of wisdom that comes into you. Deposit of wisdom that comes into you. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, talking about Jesus. And Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So when you receive Jesus into your life, Revelation 3 verse 20, I stand on the door, I knock, and if any man hears my voice and open, I will come in, I will sup with him. And when he comes, he doesn't come empty. He comes with rich deposits. That's why you see a non-entity, when he gives his life to Christ, things begin to turn around. Things start changing. His attitude will change. His behavior will change. Everything about him will start changing. It start manifesting the wisdom of God. We receive that as salvation. When Jesus comes into your life, you receive that wisdom in your life. That's why if you are not saved, you are denying yourself of many things. You are denying yourself of many things. So when it comes, we receive that wisdom. That's one channel that we receive God's wisdom into our life. Number two is through the word of God. The word of God is a book of wisdom. It's a book of wisdom. Say, he that walks with the wise shall be wise. The word of God is a book of wisdom. The word makes wise. God's word makes wise. addicted word person and be displaying foolishness. Not possible. God's word makes wise. It makes wise. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. God's word makes wise. Say from a child. From a child. Thou hast known the what? The Holy Scriptures. Which is able to make thee what? Wise. So God's word makes wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. God's word makes wise. Because when you are reading God's word, you are rubbing mind with the all-wise God. You are rubbing mind with the all-wise God. So, foolishness has been destroyed. As you are reading God's word, you are enriching your mind. And wisdom begin to take place in our life as we assess the word of God. That's why the more of the word we have and engage, the wiser we become in life. The wiser we become. Why? Because God's word tells you what to do. God's word shows you the way to go. And engaging it is wisdom. Engaging the word is wisdom. Not just hearing the word. Hearing the word is the first step. But much more is engaging the word. That's what makes us wiser. Proverbs 9 and verses 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and verses 9. Look at that scripture. Give instruction to a wise man. And God's word is full of instruction. God's word is full of instruction. Give instruction to a wise man. And what will happen to him? He will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So, the word of God is a book of instruction about your personal life, about your marriage, about your career. It has everything to say in every areas of our life. How to have a good marriage is in the word. How to run your business and succeed is in the word. It's not just knowing it. We don't lack many people that knows the word. We lack people that engages it. There are many things we know. And what you know can never change you. What you know only informs you. But it's what you do with what you know that transforms your life. So, it's not just knowing the word, but engaging it. Many of us will hear by tithing. We are not tithing. So, you can quote the scripture. You know it very well, but you are not tithing. Many of us know about giving, but we are not giving. Many of us know that husband love your wife, and wife submit to your husband, your own husband, but we are not doing that. So, knowing it and not doing it is not wisdom. That's information. When you know it, you know it, but you are not engaging it. Matthew chapter 7, 24 and 25. We saw Jesus speaking in that scripture, talking about wise and foolish people. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, and doeth them, doeth them, is in the doing. That is where the work is, not in the hearing. If we open our notes now, many things we have written since 5 years. How many have you done? If we do only 20%, our life would have changed. Only. So it's not in the hearing, but it's in the doing. Whosoever heard the sense of man and doeth them, what will happen? I will liken him unto a wise man. We built his house upon a rock. And what happened? The wind will come to test him. The rain descended and the floods came. The winds blew and beat up that house. And it fell not because it was founded upon a rock. It stood giddy well. Challenges will come. Troubles will come. He didn't say it will not come. But if you're a doer of the word, you will overcome. And he shows us the other person that hears and does not do. He hears and does not do. And the wind comes. The same challenge the other one faced came on the other one, but he failed yakata. Because he's only a hearer of the word. Help me tell your neighbor, don't be a hearer alone. Be a doer of the word. Praise the Lord. Number 3. We're looking at three channels that we can access this wisdom. Number 3 is through the Holy Spirit, who is also the Spirit of wisdom. Through the Holy Spirit, who is also the Spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of wisdom. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 17. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 17. So there is a spirit called the Spirit of wisdom, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The Spirit of wisdom. Deuteronomy 34 and verses 9. And we saw that spirit rested upon Joshua as Moses laid hands on him. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. Full of the fruit of wisdom. For Moses had laid hands upon him. That is impartation of the spirit. It rested upon him. It rested upon him. So by the laying on of hands of Moses, the spirit of the Lord rested upon Joshua. That's why you must select who lay hands on you. Not everyone should lay hands on your head. So you don't carry, a man can't give what he doesn't have. That's why many people, you see, after laying hands, somebody have laid hands, so you start behaving anyhow. You don't know where it came from. That's why the Bible tells you, don't lay hands suddenly on any man. Know where you submit your head for hands to be laid on you. Say here. It was filled with the Spirit because Moses was a carrier of the Spirit. And he laid hands on him. What he had was transferred to him. Somebody's blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Number 2, help that is available through the Holy Spirit for us as believers to fulfill our glorious destiny. Number 2, the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of counsel. It gives us counsel. And we saw that it is one of the 7 spirits that rested upon Jesus. Among the 7 spirits that was recorded in Isaiah chapter 11 from 1 to 2. Isaiah 11, 1 to 2 was the spirit of counsel. That spirit is to guide us. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of what? Counsel. Counsel. And in the multitude of counsel, that is what? That is safety. You never miss it in life, seeking for counsel. Praise the Lord. The spirit of counsel. That's the spirit that brings guidance to us. At every time we are in a crossroad, at every time we are at a point we don't know what else to do, as we engage him, the Holy Ghost, he gives us counsel. He tells us what to do, and we come out of it. Praise the Lord. You see, when you see a man crying, doesn't know what to do. When a man is crying, men are not wired to cry. But when you see a man crying, he may not be shedding tears out. But when a man does, he's bleeding inside. He doesn't know what to do. He has run out of ideas. He doesn't know what to do. There are times in life that you come to a point you don't know what to do. You don't know the way to go. You don't know the step to take. You don't know the turn to go. At that point, the Holy Ghost is there. Never forget to ask him to seek for guidance. They say people won't blame you for missing road, but they'll blame you for not asking. They won't blame you, why did you miss the road? But they will blame you, why didn't you ask? The Holy Ghost is always standby to intervene in our life when we are in a crossroad, not knowing what to do. He's there to guide us, to show us the way to come out of it. We saw some examples in scriptures. We saw the disciples, the apostles of Jesus. As the church began to grow, and changes began to take place in church, And some people began to murmur and complain. There was crisis in Acts chapter 6. And some people began to murmur, things are not getting to us and all of that. All of that was coming. And what did the disciples do? They received instruction on what to do. When the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose the murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the disciples, inspired by the Holy Ghost, and said, man, we cannot be distracted. We cannot be distracted. We must give priority to the things that are important. He said, let us select people to handle the table while we concentrate on the word. We will give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and to prayers. That was the counsel that was given, direction that was given. And when that happened, verse 6, and the church exploded to next level. The church exploded to next level. That was how they came out of that crisis. They came out of that challenge. It wasn't ordinary wisdom. It was divine wisdom. And the Bible says, when they said that, it pleased the people. Everybody accepted it. They accepted it. We saw Jesus also in his ministry on many occasions. They caught a woman in adultery very early in the morning. And they brought the woman to Jesus. They already knew what the law of Moses said, but they want to trap him by his words. Nobody will charge you for what you do not say. It is what you say that they will use to hold you. But they will never catch you. And they say, this woman was caught in the very act. She can't deny it. The evidence is there. We'll have everything to point to it. And Moses has already told us that we should stone such a person. But you know, they didn't bring the man. It takes two to commit it. They brought the woman. That's to tell you they were looking for something. It's not just the thing. They want to hold Jesus with what he would say. Moses told us to stone her. But what sayest thou? What do you say? Jesus said, these people, you won't get me. He bent down and began to write on the wall. And when he stood up, he said, any of you that had no sin, let him be the first to stone this woman. He stood down again, and when he woke up, looked up, he didn't see any of them. He said, woman, where are your accusers? He said, no one has condemned me. He said, I did not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus came out of that trap. If she has said stone her, they say, oh, but you say you're a savior of the world. If she said, don't stone her, they say, oh, you are not a prophet. You are speaking against Moses. That's a crossroad. Challenges will always come our way in your office, in your marriage. There are moments of decisions that one little mistake can put you in the trouble of 7 years you can't come out. Many people are in prison today, not because they stole, but what they said with their mouths. My prayer for each one of us, we will never be entrapped. I say we will never be entrapped. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now look at this commission. It is God's counsel that have brought the commission where it is today. The counsel of the Lord. The counsel. That's the guidance. The direction of the Lord. We saw when God's servant, the apostle of this commission, when he received the liberation mandate, he received it. The liberation mandate. The hour has come to liberate men from all oppressions of the devil. But it was divine counsel that showed him the way to go about it. Divine counsel, the spirit of counsel that showed him the way to go about the liberation mandate. And by that, we have seen where it has brought us today as a church. By that counsel. Also, so when God gave the tool for the liberation mandate, God gave him the tool, which is the word of faith. The hour has come to liberate man from all oppressions of the devil, through the preaching of the word of faith. So the tool to accomplish that liberation mandate is the word of faith. That's why we preach the word of faith here. And by divine counsel, God began also to guide him on how to go about it by the counsel of the Lord. Divine counsel. He analyzed the messages and broke it down to 12 pillars that we preach monthly. That's what informs us year after year, month by year, every month, there is a teaching for the month. We call it 12 pillars of the commission. Every month, one is picked as the Holy Ghost signals. Another month, another one is preached. As we are in this month, it's a month of wisdom. So he sat down by divine guidance to analyze the 12 pillars that sustains this commission. In case you don't know the 12 pillars, go to foundation class and go to Wobi. You will know about it. Somebody say, oh, pastor, can you mention those 12 pillars? I won't mention them. Go there. Praise the Lord. We see that spirit of counsel at work. What are we saying? We can see that the spirit of counsel is what empowers the plan of God to come to pass in our lives, as we saw in the case of Joseph, among others. Joseph, Daniel, they operated in this spirit of counsel. We saw in Genesis chapter 41 from verse 15 to 16. Genesis 41 from verse 15 to 16. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I've dreamed a dream, and I can't interpret it. Can you give me the interpretation? Not just the interpretation, give me the dream first and interpret it. Many of us who dream, we don't even remember. Now, somebody dreamt and say, I'm not talking about interpretation. I want you to tell me the dream first. And after the dream, you interpret it. But we saw how Joseph, by the revelation of God, gave the dream and also interpreted the dream. And we saw how that elevated him and brought him to prominence. The Spirit of God in us is there for us to make profiting in life. It's there to make profit in life. Thank God for speaking in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for praying for 4 hours. If all of those things doesn't translate into a better life, it has not helped anyone. It must translate into a better life. That in the office, they don't know what to do. And suddenly by the oppression of the Holy Ghost, light shines on you. I say, Oga, I know what to do. That's what brings promotion. People don't care the scripture you know. People don't care how long you pray. People are interested to know the solution you bring. And that solution comes through the Holy Spirit. Somebody is blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, reading and meditating in the word enhances believers' access to divine counsel. You read and you meditate in the word. It enhances believers' access to the spirit of counsel. You will never be deceived. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You see, it affects every aspect of life. One lady sometime in one station, I was privileged to pastor. He came and said, sir, I've seen a man that I want to marry. This man is good. As a matter of fact, my mother liked him. Everything he said. When this man is coming, he buys all manner of things. Don't be deceived by buying. I said, go and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to tell you, who is this man? And the Holy Spirit appeared to her in the dream and showed her the man and 2 children and a wife in Port Harcourt. And the following day, the man came. He said, are you married with 2 children? He said, who told you? That's how she came out of it. The man said, I wanted to marry you, and after that, I will tell you. She would have entered into it. I pray you will never be deceived. If you believe that, shout a big amen. When you have concluded everything about that business, about to sign the paper, ask him. If there is anything wrong, he will tell you. He will tell you. Somebody is blessed. In this service today, your liberty is established. I say your freedom is established. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. There is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The word liberty there means also freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Galatians 5 and verse 13. He said, we have been called into liberty. We have been called into liberty. Christianity is a call into liberty. You are permitted to come bound, but you are not permitted to remain bound. You are permitted to come in chains, but you are not permitted to return back in chains. And on a Sabbath day, one of the teachings of Jesus, he found a woman in the temple, in the synagogue, and he says, is this woman not a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound low these 18 years? Be loose from her infirmities. This morning, by the word you are hearing, and by the ministration of the communion, your freedom shall not be negotiated in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But knowledge of the truth is the master key to a word of freedom. Knowledge of the truth. You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. And the truth you know shall make you what? It shall make you free. Ignorance is the problem of many believers. Ignorance. Ignorance. Isaiah 5 verse 13. Isaiah 5 verse 13. Ignorance. Ignorance. They are saved, but they are ignorant of what is available in the kingdom. Therefore, my people, not unbelievers, my own people, they have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. They have no knowledge. So they have gone into captivity. And you shall know the truth, beginning from the word of God. That's where liberty starts from. If you are born again and you are a child of God, you are not in the same class with the devil. Devil is under you. Know it and know it well. He has redeemed us. And he has set us far above all principalities and all powers. Knowledge is key. That's why the more you know, the more you enjoy. The more you know, the higher you go. Both in the physical and in the spiritual. Both in the physical. Why do they pay a laborer different from another person? The more you know, the more you earn. If you know more, you will live better. Even in the spiritual, the knowledge of God's word is what set free. Deliverance is not falling on the ground. After you fall on the ground, you stand up. The problem is still there. True deliverance is light and truth. Light and truth. The prodigal son, when he came to himself, light has come. Knowledge has come. He said, devil, you may have taken me out of my father's house, but you can't stop me from returning. He stood by himself. No devil was too strong to stop him. He said, I will go back to my father's house. He reasoned, I will go back to my father's house. Even in my father's house, there are many people that are servant there. They are feeding better than me. He stood up, and Satan couldn't stop him. Go for knowledge. Go for light. Light shines in darkness. Darkness can't comprehend it. Many of us are carrying our liberty in our hands. The Bible. Some have read the Bible only since last week when they opened it. They're not read again. They're running helter-skelter looking for where to pray for them. This book is where your answer lies. This book. Go for knowledge. Go for books. That's where deliverance is. You shall know the truth, and the truth you know shall make you what? Shall make you free. Quickly, before God's servant comes up this morning, what are the covenant keys to walking in freedom? Number one, you must be born again and keep walking in the fear of God. You must be born again and keep walking in the fear of God. Number two, you must stay in love with God for access to the deep things of God. Stay in love with God. Stay in love with God. Stay in love with God to assess the deep things of God. Number three, rise on your feet. Lift up your hands and give God thanks this morning. Appreciate Him and bless the name of the Lord. Let's give Him thanks. Let's bless His name. Let's magnify Him. Let's exalt Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the word that have come my way this morning. I give you thanks and I give you praise. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Somebody's here this morning, you want to escape. The snare has broken and you have escaped. We escape by light. You have not made Jesus the Lord of your life. You know it. You are in church this morning. There is no security outside Jesus. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. I promise to give you rest. Somebody need that rest this morning. It begins with meeting with Jesus. Jesus, come into my heart. I can't save myself and I can't help myself. Quickly, wherever you are, come to the altar. Or you are backslidden. But you say, Pastor, I would like to reconnect back this morning. Quickly, come to the altar. In 30 seconds, let's pray together. Wherever you are, start coming to the altar quickly. Start coming. Quickly. Quickly, we're waiting for you. As choir ministers, start coming.
I am your own. I am your own. Till the day you will come. Jesus, I am your own.
Hallelujah.
I am yours.
Amen. Every one of us here, we are saved. Lift up your hands. Let's give God thanks and bless the name of the Lord. Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for Jesus as we receive God's salvation.